Our gracious God, our Father in heaven, we come before thee, Lord, with thankfulness to be in thy presence. Lord, we just humbly would pray, Lord, that thy Spirit would be here among us and that it would be evident that thy Spirit is here, both in the message as it goes forth and in the reception of the message and in the implementation of the message. Father, we look to thee. Without thee, we can do nothing. We can readily confess that. And so we just pray, Lord, now that thou wouldst be with us, work in our hearts, as we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. For this afternoon's reading, let's turn to Peter's first epistle and read chapter 3. 1 Peter, chapter 3. Likewise, ye wives, be in subjections to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair, or of wearing of gold, or of putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. For after this manner, in the old time, the holy women also, who trusted in God, adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well, and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise, ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor to the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers. But the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Having a good conscience that, whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better that the will of God be so, that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit, by which also he went and preached unto the spirits in prison, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah, while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God, by the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who was gone into heaven, and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him.
Heavenly Father, we bow before Thee yet again in this afternoon hour, thankful for this opportunity that we have yet again in this day to open Thy Word, Thy living Word, and to see, dear Father, the message that Thou wouldst have for us. Dear Heavenly Father, we trust that Thou wouldst have something for us to hear in this afternoon, and that Thou wilt make us aware of that through the inspiration of Thy Holy Spirit, through His leading. And dear Heavenly Father, we pray that Thou would help us to be attentive, that we would listen closely to what Thou wouldst have for us. And not only listen, but as we already prayed, dear Father, but that we would also be doers of Thy Word, and not only found being hearers. Heavenly Father, we know that Thou art always with us. We know that no evil can be victorious over us if we trust in Thee. And that is even what we have read now, dear Father, that no one can do us any harm if we be servants of that which is good. Father, we pray that Thou would help us, that our lives would be pure and holy, that Thou would find us at whatever time Thou dost look, that Thou would find us living according to Thy will. Father, we know that Thou dost always see us, that Thou dost see everything we do, and Thou dost know even the very thoughts that we have. And Father, we pray that every word of ours, every action, even every thought, would always be in conformity of Thy will, that nothing that we would do would ever be outside of Thy will, for we know that that is death. Heavenly Father, we thank Thee most of all for the death and resurrection of Thy dear Son, the suffering, as we have read, of the just for the unjust, we being the unjust. Father, we know that we have not deserved this, and we know that we can never repay Thee for this, and we do not seek to. We also know that this world is very wicked, and we do not seek to change that either, dear Father, but we seek only to change our hearts individually, for we will give an account only for the things that we do, not the things found in this world. Help us to have no love for the things of this world that seek to draw us away from Thee, dear Father, but help us to be victorious over those things that deserve only to distract us. Father, we know what is good for us. We know that Thou art so good to us. And Father, we pray for wisdom to never forsake Thee, never forsake Thy teachings. For we have all felt the times when we have lacked faith, when we have walked on a pathway where we shouldn't have. And we know how miserable that makes us feel when we are not living in accordance with Thy will. We've experienced it all. And Father, we pray that we would not be as dogs who would return again unto their own vomit, but that we would forsake those things forever which we have put away and look only forward to be conformed more and more into the image of Thy Son, and to never be content with our faith or service for Thee. And Father, we pray that Thou would again, be Thou with us in this afternoon hour and throughout the remainder of this day as we would dedicate unto Thy service, that we would leave Thy house in this day with a thankfulness in our hearts that we've been here and to have looked into Thy Word and to have been in fellowship with those of this like precious faith that we share, that we love so much. For this we do all pray and ask in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen.
This morning we heard a strong exhortation of living in Christ and the importance of that message of being in Christ, and that we have faith to believe that that message was Spirit-inspired because we all prayed to the Lord for that message. And yet again, this afternoon, we read a portion of Scripture where the Apostle Peter is giving an exhortation as well. The Apostle Peter, we know, has experienced many things in his life, in his walking with the Lord, and the things that he had seen that the Lord had done. And then after that the Lord was resurrected, that he himself had also experienced many things during the time of the early church. And yet he didn't reflect on those experiences that he had so much here in these in his epistles, but he's speaking here a word of exhortation, a word of how we ought to conduct ourselves and how we ought to be submissive to the Spirit. And so, again, as we heard this morning and as the message would go out again this afternoon, that we would yield ourselves to the exhortation of the Spirit. It's not a message of man, it's a message of the Word of God. It's not theology where we come to know something by knowledge and have a degree in it, but it's the word of life. It's what gives us life. It's truth. If we apply it to our lives, if we live by it, if we place ourselves in subjection to the word of God, we will have life. Our names will be written in the Lamb's book of life. And if we elect not to, it will not be. The choice is ours. We read here at the end of angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto them. The angels didn't have a choice. They were created as beings that would be subject to the Lord. But we have been given a choice. And the choice is ours. Will we subject ourselves to the Word of God? Will we subject ourselves to the Spirit's urging in our lives? Or will we not? That choice is simply ours. And again, as the message keeps going on from this morning and the prayer that we just had, the choice is ours. The impact is for our own soul. We won't change the world, but we can change our own lives. And so it is that, here it is, a message that the Apostle Peter had, who inspired by the Holy Spirit, wrote these words of exhortation, a message for each and every one of us. Though it starts here with wives, and it goes to husbands, and it does say here in verse number 8 that be ye all of one mind. Then there's an exhortation to everyone. I do marvel at the life of the Apostle Peter, how much he had experienced, and those things that had transpired and happened unto him. Even at the time after Jesus' resurrection, when he was here upon this earth, and he's bringing forth the gospel message to everyone, to the Jews that were in Jerusalem, and he's speaking to them, the Messiah has come. He was Emmanuel. He was with us. And unless you believe in him and repent of your sins, you will not be saved. And there was two accounts that the Bible speaks of in Acts where the Apostle Peter was cast into prison, and on both of those accounts, the angel of the Lord let him out. He was not held captive there in those jail cells, but he was released. And again, the Holy Spirit was working so strongly in the Apostle Peter that there were those that would place those that were sick in the pathway of Peter so that if perhaps the shadow of Peter would be cast on them. And so it was that Peter experienced many, many things, and the Spirit worked very much in his life. And he's speaking here now, writing to us. And again, it's our choice. Will we accept what the Spirit is speaking to us, or will we not? The chapter here begins with, "Likewise, ye wives, be in subjection unto your own husbands, that if any obey not in the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives." So if there's a case where there's a sister in the Lord that has an unbelieving husband, that there's an exhortation, be in subjection. Be in subjection to your own husbands. That through the conduct of your lives, your unbelieving husband would be brought to this truth of Jesus Christ. And the key word here is subjection. Subjection to Christ, and so that if we are in Christ, we will be subject as wives to our husbands. It says, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear. Again, that's conduct. That's a lifestyle. We all have different personalities. Some are extroverts, some are introverts. There's a myriad of personalities. But the character always needs to be that the conduct would be good and upright in God's sight. And so there's a reverence here that the wives are to have and in their subjection unto their husbands, and a reverence toward God. And when they have this reverence, a healthy respect toward God, this will fall into place with their husbands as well in their relationship with their husbands. Whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of plaiting the hair or of wearing of gold or of putting on of apparel. The Apostle Peter is saying, don't place emphasis on that. That's not what's going to make a woman or a wife beautiful, but it is the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God of great price. Having a meek and a quiet spirit will not bring corruption to a soul. It won't. Having that meek and the quiet spirit gives honor and glory to God. When we think of what it is that gives God glory and what is in his sight of great price, we have to take note of that. We really have to understand that the Spirit here is speaking. The Spirit is speaking and saying, don't put emphasis on that which is outward adornment to make yourself beautiful, but what it is of what God thinks is beautiful. What it is that God thinks is beautiful is that ornament of a meek and a quiet spirit. That's what God places importance on and value in. And I believe that we as husbands have to have a responsibility there, that a woman wants to feel appreciated and wants to feel good about herself. And so the emphasis should not be placed on that which is the outward adornment. But the emphasis should be placed on that which is would be of a meek and a quiet spirit. And so let's encourage our wives in this aspect. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands, even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are, as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. It was even in time of old that these women of old were adorned in this manner, with having this meek and this quiet spirit. And as they gave reverence to their husbands, as Sarah did to Abraham, there was a glorification that was given to God. And that's our desire. That's our life goal. That's our vision. That's our mission statement, is to give glory to God in all aspects of our lives. And this is one way that we might do that, in having a spirit that is meek and is quiet. Again, we heard this morning of individualism and how much emphasis the world is placing on individualism. No, the Bible here is teaching us, be in subjection to God. Be in subjection to him. Have a healthy respect and reverence, having that fear toward God. Having that meek and the quiet spirit, that's in the sight of God of great price. Our Lord Jesus Christ of himself was meek. And again, it was referenced this morning to that Jesus was meek. Jesus said, come, learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart. Jesus exemplified that meekness and that compassion that he had toward all mankind. If we go back a chapter, it says, who, Jesus, when he was reviled, when the time came that Jesus was reviled, he reviled not again. He didn't repay that revilement with reviling. And when he suffered, he threatened not, but he committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. This is what Jesus Christ did. He said, come, learn of me, for I am meek. That is what is in the sight of God of great price. We learn of Moses, and if we turn back to Numbers chapter 12, it speaks of Moses and the relationship that he had with God, and how Moses, it says, was the meekest of all men, above all men on the face of the earth. And God was with him and spoke to him mouth to mouth. Moses had a relationship with God. It was very special. It was very deep. They spoke to each other. Moses was meek. It was in the sight of God of great price. This is what the Spirit is calling us to. And then there's an exhortation to husbands. It says, likewise, ye husbands, dwell with your wives according to knowledge, according to the Scripture, according to what the Bible says. We can have our thoughts, and many of us men do have our thoughts, And sometimes they're pretty strong thoughts. But the Bible here is saying to dwell with them according to knowledge, according to what the Bible says. What does the Bible say? Giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, as being heirs together of the grace of life. Recognizing that God made it so that a husband and a wife would dwell together and they would be a help for each other. And they would strengthen each other, and they would be heirs together of the grace of life. That's the way God designed it. And so our part as husbands is to give honor unto the wife. Give honor to them. Respect how the Spirit is working in their lives as well, that we would be heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. That's a very difficult thought to meditate on, that our prayers would be hindered. If we are upset with our wives, it's very difficult to come upon our knees and have a prayer of sincerity before the Lord. It's important that we live right with our wives, that we honor them as the weaker vessel, and recognize that we're here for each other. And then when we can kneel by our bedsides together as husband and wife, that God would hear our prayer, that we would be reconciled, that we would live together with them in the Spirit, that we would not be bitter against them, that our prayers would not be hindered. How will God hear our prayer if we are angry with our wives? Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. This is, again, is what the Spirit is exhorting us to. And again, it's to us. It's to us specifically, individually. We can accept it, we can live by it, or we can reject it. It's our choice. God gave us that choice. Be ye all of one mind to glorify our Heavenly Father, to live for Him, to lift up the name of Jesus. That's having that one mind. And there's a great blessing in that. When we have that one mind, that together we're going to worship the Lord. Together we're going to lift up the name of Jesus. Together we're going to speak of the salvation that can be had in Jesus through a myriad of personalities, but yet with a character that loves God. Have compassion one of another. This is part of that being in subjection to the Spirit of God. Having compassion one of another. Just as we appreciate compassion to us for ourselves when we are going through something difficult, we ought to give compassion as well. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be full of pity toward others. Be full of pity toward others. That's the heart that we should have and that the Spirit is calling us to have, is a heart that would be full of pity toward others and being courteous, having civility among ourselves. Being respectful to each other. This is what the Bible is calling us to. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrariwise blessing. You know, it's human nature to rail on somebody who's railed on us. That's human nature. It's an evil nature to return evil for someone for something good that's been done to us. But it's a divine nature to return good to someone who's done evil toward us. It's a divine spirit that, and a divine nature that gives us that ability to do so. To give a blessing. That's what the Lord is calling us to, is to give a blessing. We've been given so much. We've been the recipients of the Holy Spirit. We've been recipients of an inheritance that's incorruptible, undefiled, fades not away, and it's reserved in heaven for us. We've been given so much. Blessings come upon us in an abundant measure. it should be easy for us to give that blessing as well. For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile. Do we desire to have a good life? Do we desire to see good days? Do we desire to see a good life and good days for each and every one of us? For all of us? For everyone? The advice here is, and the exhortation from the Spirit is, refrain your tongue from evil and your lips speak no guile. Eschew evil and do good. Seek peace. Job was one who was said that was perfect. Job chapter 1, verse 1. He was perfect. And in that description of him being perfect, it said that he eschewed evil. To have no affection or no desire for anything that is evil. Not even any tolerance for it, but to have a hatred for evil and to love to do good. To do good. To make someone else's life better. And to seek to be at peace. For the eyes of the Lord are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. Again, we just think of that great blessing that if we, by his grace, subject ourselves to the Spirit and we do these things that God would have us to do good, to seek peace, to be pitiful, to be courteous, to do all these things, that the Lord, his face is for us. He's watching us. He's looking down on us with favor, and he's hearing our prayers as we come before him. But if we elect not to heed the exhortations of the Spirit, that the Bible here says that the face of the Lord is against them that do evil. And who is he that will harm you if ye be followers of that which is good? But, and if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. The Apostle Peter here is speaking that from experience, because when he had spoken the gospel message to the Jews that were in Jerusalem, he suffered for it. The Bible says that the apostles were beaten for them, for that message, and the Apostle Peter was among them. He was beaten for speaking the message of the gospel and the truth that of Jesus Christ coming here upon this earth and that which he accomplished for our salvation. As he spoke that message, he was beaten for it. But he's saying here, don't be afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. And so the Bible does record that as he was sitting there in prison, knowing that James was beheaded, and since it pleased the Jews, Herod was going to do the same thing with Peter. And Peter was not afraid of their terror, and he was not troubled. What was he doing? He was sleeping there in the prison cell, on the eve of his supposed execution. And the angel had to wake him up to rescue him out of that prison cell. And so he's exhorting us likewise, be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. So as we live out our lives, and as we do these things, as we are in subjection to the Spirit, as we are in fear toward God, as we give honor to our wives, as we are full of pity, as we are courteous, as we do good, as we seek peace, as we do these things, people will note that. And they will ask us of the hope that lies within us. And our response needs to be a response with meekness and with fear. A response with just as Jesus was meek and as Moses was meek, that we likewise would be meek as well in our response as to how the Lord richly blessed our lives and has given us eternal life and eternal hope in him. Suffering for righteousness' sake. If we have a carnal nature, if we rely upon our own spirit, with a lowercase s, we will want instant retaliation. That's what's going to come to mind immediately, is someone reviled me, I'm going to revile them back. The Bible says in Philippians chapter 2 that all men seek their own, not the things which are Jesus Christ's. If we are seeking our own, then yeah, that's what's going to be in us, in that we would revile when we are reviled and rail when we are railed on. But we are to have a spirit of meekness. Proverbs teaches us that we should not say, I will recompense evil, but fear the Lord, and he will save thee. It not ought to come to us that I'm going to make this right. This was an evil that was done. I'm going to make this right. The Bible is telling us in Proverbs, don't say that. Don't say that I will recompense evil. But fear God, and he will save us. Jesus said that if somebody smites thee on the right cheek, turn to him the other as well. That we should not recompense evil for evil. And the Apostle Paul had learned that that truth, and he applied that truth in his life. He heeded the exhortation of the Spirit. And there was one who had given him much grief, apparently. He said that Alexander the coppersmith did me much evil. The Lord reward him according to his works. It wasn't that the Apostle Paul was going to make a retribution to Alexander, but that he simply committed Alexander the coppersmith for all the evil deeds he did, that his reward would be with the Lord. Having a good conscience, that whereas they speak evil of you as evildoers, that they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. There will be those who will speak negatively toward us as we live out our lives and as we yield ourselves to the Spirit. That will happen. It could happen. But ours is to heed the Spirit. Ours is to heed the exhortation of the Spirit, that we would be in subjection to the Holy Spirit, in subjection to God, that we would live with fear in our hearts toward him, having that healthy regard for him, that we would give honor to our wives, that we would be of one mind, that we would have compassion one of another, that we would love as brethren, that we would be full of pity, that we would be courteous, that we would give a blessing, and that we would do good, and that we would seek peace. These are the things that the Spirit is exhorting us to this afternoon. We can do that when we are in subjection to him. We can do that when we say that not my will be done, but thy will be done. And know that with God, all things will work together for good. And so we would give him the honor and the glory for that. In earlier portion of this epistle, the Apostle Peter is saying that servants ought to be in subjection to their masters. Here in this chapter, he's saying that the wives ought to be in subjection to their husbands. Then also in the last chapter of this epistle, he says, yea, all of you be in subjection one to another and clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and gives grace to the humble. We are recipients of the grace of life. We are recipients of the grace of God. And so long as we walk in subjection to the Spirit and being subject one to another and be clothed with humility, God will give us this grace to do what he would have us to do, to live for him and to be filled with this peace, to know him, even as Moses has known God the Father. That we would have that relationship with him, and that his Spirit would be alive in us, and that we would be in Christ. glorifying him and living for him. For Christ also hath once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but quickened by the Spirit. This is what Jesus Christ has done for us. Angels, authorities, and powers were subject to Christ. They're all subject to Christ. Ought we not also to be subject to Christ, who suffered for our sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God? That he might bring us to this everlasting habitation with him? That we would know this peace and this joy of life in him? And so may it be that we would have this good conscience toward God, knowing that we're making the choice. It's our choice. We will place ourselves in subjection to God. We will have that spirit of meekness as Christ had that spirit of meekness, as Moses had that spirit of meekness. And our lives will be filled with joy, filled with peace, filled with his goodness. There's no richer life to have. There is no place we can go to. There is no philosophy that we can follow that will give us this great joy and this peace that can be had in Christ Jesus. But it takes that we would crucify ourselves and be risen again with Christ, that we would live for him and be in subjection to him, having that fruit of the Spirit of meekness in our lives consistently, that we would show all meekness to all men as the Bible teaches us and instructs us. May God give us wisdom in the times when there is a moment of decision in our lives. Amen.
Mind in this afternoon and in this morning in the sermons was that this world has a lot to offer unto us, but none of it is a guarantee. The world will tell us if we work harder, then we will have a greater chance of success. Yes, that's true, but that's not guaranteed. Or if we eat maybe healthier, then we will have greater health, maybe even live longer. That may be true, but it's not a guarantee. Or if we get in an accident with our seatbelt on, we have a greater chance of surviving, but it's not guaranteed. But everything that we've heard in this day is a guarantee from God. If we have a meek and a quiet spirit, mind our own business, do the things that are pleasing unto him, we will be pleasing in his sight. That's a guarantee. Why would we choose to willingly follow the ways of this world that give us no guarantee of success when we can be united in Christ and be guaranteed of a life everlasting with him? Let's not throw away our salvation. Let's not throw away all the blessings that he has to give us for some vague, non-guaranteed promises that this world gives to us that can never fulfill. May God bless his word in this day, and may we leave this place with a desire truly to live for him, that we be united in Christ. Because if we are united and not united in Christ, that's false. There is no unity outside of Christ. Let's have that unity that we would strive together to serve him more and never be content, never be pleased with our service for him. Amen.